Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
This is the exciting thing, that this recent ruling with the Supreme Court, because you're looking at, we left having a king some time back. Mm. And the reason why we became, I don't know, a nation is because we wanted to be one nation under God, under a nation of laws. We wanted to have representative government. We wanted to put the people in charge. And so we wrote out, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. And so we wrote they wrote the Constitution of the United States. And as a matter of fact, the preamble of the Constitution says this. And you get your little, hopefully we have something available on VFN TV somewhere to be able to get this. But the first preamble, which is the first part of the Constitution, talks about, I think, seven specific things. But it says, we the people of the United States, and these are the first folks that are writing this out to be able to say, you know, this is what we're going to be about. This is our vision statement for America. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our children, the people come after us, they call our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States, by the way. And that's why Dr. Martin Luther King says an unjust law is not a law at all, because mm-hmm. the whole purpose of the laws under the Constitution, that's what it is. It's a body of laws. We're ruled by laws. It's about justice. So an unjust law would go to the Supreme Court. They would argue at the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court would say, this is unconstitutional, which means it's not a just law. And that's what he proved. It proved it to be true. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing is when Congress goes on a recess, and there's like official recess time, and when they do that, the president's still got to be able to rule. He's got to be able to make decisions. And so what he does, he's able to have executive appointments during that time when they're on recess. Mm-hmm. But they started doing some weird unofficial recesses for like 3 days. And during those times, he was making appointment after appointment after appointments reported, you know, allegedly.
Someone says like during making an appointment during a lunch break. It's like, wait, that's
well,
not
I don't,
an official
I don't know about
break.
That. I don't know. I mean, you may know. I don't know about that. And neither does our affiliates or sponsors or anything. No.
Just or underwriters.
Hey, a disclaimer in the context of that. We are not sure under the bus. And so then they made a ruling here that that this is unconstitutional. 13 times, I believe they're saying that this court has ruled against the executive branch, against the president, saying you're violating the Constitution. You cannot do this. And they said, you can't, you has to be in a, you know, it's, he still has the power to do that. Mm-hmm. Whoever's there has the power to do that, but you just can't make up a recess. You can't make up this concept type thing. So all of these appointments, based on my understanding, that was made during that time are unofficial now. They have to be totally pulled away, and they have to go through the approval process. And this is so important. And I really wanted to say this today to just to remember this. When somebody says, well, it's because Congress wouldn't move fast enough, or it's because Congress wouldn't fund it, it's because Congress was in my way, it's because I wanted to do business, but Congress wouldn't do business with me. Understand, you can change that word Congress, and you can put the word you. And so somebody says, I wanted to do this, but you wouldn't let me. I wanted to do this, but you wouldn't pay tax money for me to do this. I wanted to do this, but you were moving too slow, so I just did it despite you. Why? Because Congress is you. That's your representative. You have two senators from every state, but in the House of Representatives, you have one congressman or woman for
every 700,000 people.
For every 700,000 people. So that's every man or woman that's there. When that person's standing up for that interview behind a CNN mic or a Fox News mic or a VFN TV mic or whatever it is, they're standing behind them is 700,000 people standing behind that one person. Mm-hmm. So when you have two of them standing together, that would make 1.4 million people. Mm-hmm. Those two congressmen, men or women, they represent 1.4 million people. When you have the majority of Congress saying no to this appointment, no to this particular thing, That's the majority of America saying no. That's I mean, think about it. If you have, there's only 530 total there about that.
Members of Congress.
All government. And in the context of that, imagine that if you have the majority of Congress saying no, that's hundreds of millions of folks, you know, saying. So when the executive branch looks at you, Congress, that's who you are as a citizen. That's your representative. And says, you won't let me do this. And it's like, it's because we don't want you to do it.
Right.
That's what the people are saying. We don't want this. So when you look at Congress, and if Congress is saying, this is not right, we don't need to go this way. If Congress is saying the NSA, and I believe they just passed they defunded NSA in regards to gathering metadata on these phones. Of course, the Supreme Court just joined them in the context of this ruling, really. Mm-hmm. You know, but in a way. And so basically you have you and the Supreme Court saying, stop, don't do that. That's not right. That's not what you should do. And so don't think of Congress, because they've done an excellent job of creating a narrative. I mean, straight Alinsky 101, creating a narrative that this company that's not even part of us, this government thing out there called Congress, is in my way. And it's like, that's you. When somebody has to appear before Congress to answer for what they're doing, like recently the IRS, you know, director had to stand and report to Congress. I mean, think about that. Every congressman, I don't know if there's any congresswoman on there, that asked the question. When they talked, the reason why you got to wait for each of them to talk, because each of them represents 700,000 folks. Mm-hmm. You give them, even if they ask the same question, they have to answer to their 700,000 that they represent. And so that's why you have these different peripheral questioning going on, including it doesn't matter who's on what side of the issue. They have to represent their part of the government, their part of the people. And so when you have those hearings, that's you, your representative, sitting at that DS there, that table. And when they're calling these lead directors in from, for example, like IRS or FBI or CIA or whoever it is, these generals, that's you questioning them. So don't let that narrative, don't believe that narrative, because Congress is you. That's your representative. And find, you know, if you don't like the way your congressman or woman is going, you know, begin to find people that have your same values. Look for people who agree with the same values that you have, because that's your representative. You know, it's changed in America presently, unless this thing, you know, gets flipped. It's changed when we pray as Christians, but it's also changed when we get involved and find out, ask questions to folks. I remember when, you know, Governor Scott was running for the governor for the first time in Florida. I asked him right out. I said, you know, I didn't ask him, is you're a Christian? Who is Jesus to you?
Right.
Everybody says they're a Christian. Who is Jesus to you? And I sat and I listened and asked him some very specific things, and it proved out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen this, it proved out. He was the only governor, according to the congressman that we spoke with, that ever would have signed these pro-life bills that he signed. As a matter of fact, every legislator in Florida, understand this, according to Joe Miller, the governor said that he will sign any pro-life bill that comes across his desk. Write before God, write every bill you can and get it to his desk so we can stand up for God and Florida could be a hub state. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.